Church, and looking forward to the day, as I do every Sunday, and getting to come to church, getting to come to the Lord's house and worship in spirit and in truth is a privilege that we are enjoyed, and thank God for it. I know this morning we have a bunch of quarantinees that's at home, maybe watching on Facebook or YouTube, and I was thinking about be a great business to get into in a month or two would be the marriage counseling. All these quarantined spouses together in a house, they'll be needing some counseling, so maybe we might start that. And but I seriously remember those that are quarantined, some with symptoms, some with none, still having to spend their 10 days in jail. So remember them, pray for them. There are some sick that we've got in our church family, so remember them, pray their bodies are healed, much to their health that they won't so bad. Remember Jackie McDaniel. Most of you know he suffered a stroke, is in the hospital and can't move the left side of his body, his arm or leg. They're probably going to move him to rehab tomorrow or sometime first of the week. So pray for him, pray for Jane and the family as they go through this time with him. Too many for me to remember. I know we have those, some that graduated yesterday. We got some graduating, I think, today. Jeremiah in Crimson in Alabama. He's graduating, I think it is today. So their families are with them, remember them. And so let's just worship God today in spirit and truth. We tend to let circumstances hinder us, but I believe he sent us a great message this morning. Looking forward to preaching it. And I have done something, which y'all know me, I forget everything and lose everything, but went out of the house and got down the road and realized I had run off and forgot my Bible, so look what I got. I look like Tiger King up here preaching. And so if I miss a word, it's because they're about this small and may have to get out my my light. I do. When I go to the restaurants now, especially since I turned 45, Pat, I have to get my light out. So I can't see the menus. And it ain't that I need bifocals, but I need more light. So y'all pray for us this morning. Y'all have any prayer requests before we get started? Anybody that we're forgetting? Yes, she's in hospital also. She has moved to NHC already, right? She broke a bone, maybe, in her leg, I think, and been in the hospital. Now they're moving her to rehab to try to get her where she can walk again and get stronger. Have any others? Remember the family. We had a funeral yesterday. There was the family has suffered two losses in a couple of weeks. The mother passed away 2 weeks ago, and the son passed away last week. So they've had a tough time. So remember them. And his family's had a rough go of it. So just keep them in your prayers. Do you have any others? No one else. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have our music, and then we'll preach. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your blessings, and Lord, I ask you to be with these prayer requests that's been made known, touching each situation. Brother Jackie, we ask you to touch his body. God, he's had this stroke. We ask that you restore the use of his left side, God, that he may be able to walk again and to use his arm. Lord, we pray for those that are in quarantine for this virus. God, I pray that you just take it away. Take it off of the land, take it off of the whole earth. Just take this thing away and let people understand that it's done by your hand and for your glory. God, we ask that you be with our church as we have many out different places today. Those that's graduating, we ask you to be with them graduates. Those that have graduated, be with them also. God, just be with each one as they travel. The ones on vacation, different things, just touch them, keep a hedge of protection about them. God, we come to preach this morning. I pray that you open our hearts and minds to receive your message from your word. And God, they won't listen the way I preach it, but to the meaning of it. And Lord, that you will let it change hearts and change lives. And God, as we come with our music service this morning, I know things are different. We have traditions we get used to, and when it's not that way, we tend to get a little riled up. But God, we thank you that we're still able to have this. We're able to come to a church and worship freely, not in fear of being put in jail or being told what we can and cannot do as of right now in our nation. We can worship you anytime we desire, and we thank you for that. And God, we ask that you allow it to continue. God, be with us this morning. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free.
One of my favorite songs. I love that song, love the words of it. And just think about it for a minute. In your Father's house, there's a place for you. You could say the whole world is pretty nice, think about that, but there's a place for you. And boy, it gets personal. And sitting there thinking, when we built our house, we built a 3-bedroom house because we was done having children. And then there was one come along later. And so we wasn't planning on needing that extra room, but when God's house was formed, he knew you before the foundation of the world, and you had a room there. Boy, how amazing that is. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Very, very familiar story this morning as about a man named Naaman. And I want you to see in this is a very clear picture of the salvation of our souls. And I don't know who this is for this morning. I never do, but I try to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. And the last 2 weeks has been about salvation. And I don't question it. I just try to preach it to the best of my ability, which may not be too good, but it's the best I can do. But this morning, if I could title this, it would be the healing. would be a healing. And I want you to understand something, that we think that being good sometimes is enough. Sometimes we can get caught up in thinking even coming to church and doing good things is enough. Naaman was a great man. The Bible says it. He was a great man. But he had a problem. This morning I want you to see that we are all, I know some good people. I've known good people in our communities. I know good people all about, and good people is not what gets it. It's about being healed. We all need a healing that only can come from God. This morning in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1, I told you I run off and forgot my Bible, and I got this Carol Baskin Bible here, this big cat rescue thing on it. And the problem with that is I don't mind the cheetah print cover. It has got little tiny writing. And so I'm just going to read off the board, because I'm going to mess up if I try to read out of here. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of King of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. And he said, Am I God, to kill, to make alive, that this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parpher, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we thank you for the symbolic meaning of this, of God, it's simple obedience to your word is how we are made clean. God, we thank you for a way that's so simple. And God, that we may have the faith that Naaman had to come to have to simply wash. Lord, I pray this morning, if they're here that haven't washed, that you'll let them see the need to wash today. It's not any way that we think is better than your way. Your way is the only way. God, may we accept it, receive it, and be saved forevermore. For us in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The story of the healing. I want you to look first at the man. This man named Naaman. The Bible says in that verse number 1, it says he was great. He was a great man. Matter of fact, if you study this, he was second in command in all his nation. Only the king had more power in his nation than Naaman had. Naaman was a great warrior. He was a great army man. He was a great one in battle. You think about great, and you could put Naaman in that thing. And I want you to think about this. You know some great people today. Maybe they're not great warriors. Maybe they're not great in the second in their nation. But in their own way, they are great. They do things for the community. They feed the poor. They do all these things that we think is great and they should do. But I want you to understand something about Naaman. Is even though he was honorable as a general, he's one of the best men. And all the men honored him and they respected him as a great man. I mean, you just couldn't believe how great this man was with his people. He was a mighty man of valor. This means in the face of danger and in battle, he was afraid of nothing. That's what valor means. He was not afraid of danger. When you wanted to go into battle, you wanted this man with you because he was mighty in battle. He didn't run. He didn't bow down. And he stood for what was right. And he stood as a warrior should. He was afraid of nothing. I'm talking about a true warrior. Boy, sounds good, don't he? I put this in there, a little comical. Of all these great things Naaman was, he had a butt. We all have a butt. Y'all laughing, y'all fixing to start laughing, but we all have a butt. He was a great man. He was an honorable man. He was a great man of valor. But he was a leper. You see, all the great people you know today that are great, they may have done some great things in their lives, but one thing's for certain, they have something wrong. You can search any man you want to, and I promise you, this man, whoever you're thinking about right now in your mind that you know is to be the godliest man you can think of, I promise you, he has a fault. He has something wrong with him. He has a sin that so easily besets him. I don't care who it is. You can think of who you want to. If it was Billy Graham, and he would tell us, and he wouldn't mind telling us if he was still alive, Billy Graham had something that kept him from being perfect with God. And so do you. And if you don't have any vices, then you are even born with a sinful flesh that is a sin sickness such as he had as leprosy. If you've ever studied about leprosy, it was a terrible disease, leprosy was. It would start slow on one part of your body, and it would eat slowly at your skin. And by the time it was done, in that day, most of the time, they lost their limbs due to rodents eating them off because they couldn't feel them. The rats would eat their toes. The rats would eat their fingers off when they slept. They couldn't feel anything, or they would get burned because there was no feeling in their extremities from leprosy. It would start slow, and eventually it would eat them completely up. I've heard stories tell that some of the historians write about people's missing part of their faces, missing all kind of body parts because of leprosy. And my friend, when you look at it and think about it as being likened to sin, sin starts slow, and before it is done, it completely wipes you out. And each one of us today is great in our own way, but we all have something that keeps us from being right with God, just as a leper did. You see, a leper, he had to be set apart, just as we have people this morning. Had to be quarantined. A leper was done that, not for 10 days, but forever. Until they were healed, they were set apart. They was unclean when they come near a person who did not have leprosy. They had to yell, unclean, unclean. They couldn't come anywhere near. There's so many feet they could come, and they couldn't be in the synagogues. They couldn't be in the stores. They couldn't be in the villages. They couldn't be anywhere anybody else was. It was a miserable, miserable life of this thing of leprosy. And my friend, if when you are caught up in sin and you're lost in sin, it is a miserable life. But Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. A leper. I want you to think about yourself this morning and think about all the great things that you have accomplished. Some of y'all have accomplished great things. Some of y'all will accomplish great things. But at the end of all that greatness, you're going to have a but. But he was this. But he was that. There's been great evangelists who was preached the Word of God as good as any, but at some point they had a part of their life that had that butt in there, but there was something wrong with them. This man, Naaman, as great as he was, but he had this problem. And I like to think about this. You see, I told you that if he was a leper, you had to be set apart. So I think that Naaman was probably hiding his problem. Boy, is that not like us today? We hide our problem. We'll come into the church house. We will smile. We may even teach. We may even preach. And all along, we are filthy underneath these clothes we were hiding under. But I believe Naaman, if you pulled up his shirt sleeve, they said leprosy would make your skin solid white. I believe under them shirt sleeves, he had the white skin that showed he was a leper, but if you couldn't tell it by looking at him, because if he would, he would have had to been set apart no matter how great man he was. If everybody knew about it, they would not have come near him because leprosy was very contagious. So they wouldn't have come near, but here he was hiding all of this this sin that was in him, if you want to think about it that way, but this sickness that nobody knew about, but bless God, his family knew about it. And thank God that when you think about the man, the next thing you want to think about is this little maid. Think about this little maid that was living in his house. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. A little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, I want you to think about this little maid. She was here in a foreign land. She had been taken captive. She was a slave to Naaman and to Naaman's wife. She cleaned the house. She did whatever Naaman's wife needed doing. She did it. She was a servant. But you see, even being a servant, she had something that nobody could hide. She had a love for people. She had a love for her master. She had a love for Naaman even. When she heard that Naaman was a leper, she told the mistress, and she said, only if Naaman could get to my land, God could heal him through this prophet that's there. Only if he would go to this man of God, the man of God could touch him and his leprosy could be done away with. And you see that Naaman, if you read about him a little further down, you'll find that Naaman worshipped in a house of Rimmon. It was like a Baal to them in that day. He would go and he'd worship in this temple where they done this false worship to this false god. And so Naaman, no doubt he was a religious man, but he didn't know the one true God of Israel. And thanks be to God for this little maid. She said, I know a way that this man can be healed. Me and you today need to have what this little maid had. She had a love for this people, for this man, even though she knew what was under the clothes. She knew that he was a leper, what many other people didn't know. You see, people live in our homes know more about us than we'd like for them to know. They know the things that you don't know, that I don't know, because they live with you. They see the problems you have. They see the downfalls you have. They see that you maybe hide some things outside to the world, but when you're at home, when you're inside, maybe something's a little different. They see the inside part that we never get to see. But she saw that, and she understood there was a problem, and that this man needed a healing. Now, it would have been easy for this little maid to just say, you know what? It's 2020, so I'm going to mind my business. I've been taught that I'll just do my work and everything will be okay, so I'm just going to mind my business. I want to tell you something. This little maid was a witness for a true and a living God. And today what's missing in our land is witnesses for a true and a living God. You see, do you know what a witness is? When you are in a court, and I've never been in a court, some of y'all have, if you don't have to tell me about it. But when you're in a court setting, I believe that when you're being tried for a crime, you're allowed to call witnesses. A witness is someone who saw or heard or they seen something or somebody told them something about something that happened. You are to witness what you saw or what you know to be true. And when you bring a witness before a court, they are to, I guess they still do it, they take an oath to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They're supposed to tell exactly what they know and to the best of their ability. That's exactly what she did. She was an example. What a witness this little maid was. She could have kept quiet, but she had a love, even for her master. What example to us. Acts chapter 22, verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. You know what that's talking to? That's talking to you. That's talking to me. We're to be witnesses unto all men that have what we have seen and heard. Maybe today, maybe the reason we are hurting for witnesses is maybe we're not sure of what we have seen and heard. Maybe we're not settled on what we have seen and what we have heard, and maybe we don't know exactly what to do. But my friend, today, if you know for certain that God has saved you without a shadow of a doubt, then you have seen something and you have heard something. So you must go tell the world that you know for certain what he has done for you. You see, you don't know what he's done for me. I don't know what he's done for you. But bless God, I know what he's done for me. And you know what he's done for you. And you are to tell that to the best of your ability. James Merritt. Anybody here heard of James Merritt? I know Derek has. James Merritt. He preaches in a big church up in Atlanta. I think it's called Crossroads or something like Cross something. I used to listen to him a lot. And he preaches all the time about simply telling your story. You don't have anybody else's story. You have your story. And you tell your story to the best of your ability. Now, your story is not as exciting as somebody else's story. Your story may not be that you was addicted to an illegal drug for years. Your story may not be that you had an affair for years. Your story may not be that you was a bank robber or any of that stuff, and God changed you. And we like to hear that stuff and think it's exciting. But one thing you do have, if you've been saved, you can tell the world that you was a lost sinner on your way to hell and God changed your destiny. You have a story. You have a story. Tell that story. Oh, how we love to tell stories. I love to tell them. And you see, what we like to do is we like to make them a little sweeter, don't we? We add something to them. You need to tell your story to people. You think nobody cares about your story. There's people today who's waiting to hear that God has changed you forevermore. And you don't have to tell them about everything you've ever done. If you want to, that's fine, but you don't have to do that. You see, we get caught up in thinking that it's because God saved this great alcoholic that was a town drunk and he turned into a preacher, that that's the greatest testimony there's ever been. And no doubt that's a great testimony, but it's the same testimony of any lost sinner who was saved by the grace of God has the same exact testimony, because your path and the drunkard's path was the same. Without Jesus, you was on your way to hell. The same story. Your version. This little maid said, if my master could go to Israel, he could be clean of leprosy. It took courage and a great faith to speak up. What if he wasn't healed? You ever thought about this? This little maid had a lot at stake. It wasn't like today where you could just run your mouth all you want to and you had a constitution to protect you from that. If you run your mouth in this day and it didn't come true, you could be killed, your head could be chopped off and done away with. What if her master had went to the land of Israel and had not been healed of his leprosy? What if that happened? She never thought about that, because she knew for certain in her heart that she served a God over there that was able to heal no matter what come to be. And she never once doubted about telling him to go there. Listen, I know Jesus so well today. I say I know him so well. I don't act like it sometimes. But I know his word and what it teaches about him so well is a better way to put it. That if any lost sinner is convicted of their sin, they come unto him. Brother, I am certain without a shadow of a doubt that he will save. I don't got to wonder that he'll accept you or not. I know he will. They played that song, in my Father's house is a place for me. It's the same for all of us. I know that I can send somebody there and they'll be healed. And so did this little maid. She knew that if her master went there, that no doubt that he would be healed. This little maid, of all the mighty people that Naaman come in contact with, I mean, you got to think now, I like to think of him as a great big man, kind of like Landon. With his arms, he'd probably take a picture of him every night, Landon. He'd probably get in front of the mirror before he went to bed and say, I think they grow today. That's what Landon does. And Landon said, he measures them and sees they go. But this man, Naaman, he didn't have to do that. They were so. I like to think of him as a big muscular warrior man. I mean, he was mean. He was a man's man. But yet here's this little maid. She was probably 14. Maybe 15 years old, wasn't old. She told this great man what to do. This week, you saw big Naaman over here fighting battles. And you saw this little maid over here washing dishes and sweeping floors and scrubbing toilets and doing all the things a maid does. And it looks like that this mighty man, Naaman, was the man. He was the stuff. But yet, this little maid here, she had something that Naaman needed. She had a knowing of a true and a living God. And this strong man, he needed that. I want you to see something today. God uses the weak. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's what he did with this little maid. In all of her weak things she was, but yet she was strong. She used this weak little maid to change the destiny of a great man of valor. You may be here thinking today and you're thinking, well, I'm not a preacher. And you ought to thank God for that. You'll say, well, I'm not a pastor. Thank him for that. I'm not a deacon. You might could thank him for that. Well, I'm not this, I'm not that. Listen, you may not be, but one thing you are is you're called to be a witness about what you have seen and what you can do. And I'll tell you something else. Your testimony holds more weight probably than any message I can preach, because you can relate to somebody. You have been where somebody is. I like to say it this way, and I mention this a lot lately. As being a pastor, you'll go to funerals, or you'll go to homes where somebody has died. And you see, the thing we want to say is, I know what you feel like, but we don't. Don't never say that, because you don't know what they feel like. But up until December the 15th of last year, I didn't know what it felt like when somebody had lost a parent. But now I do. Understand that. I can sympathize with them. If somebody has lost their mother, I can understand the hurt they're feeling. I can understand it a little bit. I don't know what they're feeling exactly, but I know what I felt. I know what I go through every day, and I know what I deal with. So maybe I can help them just a little bit. And that's where your story comes into play. You see, you may have something that I've not been through, and I've got something you haven't been through. We all have a story. We all have a testimony, and somebody is waiting to hear yours. Never discount of how powerful it is. I say this all the time. Pat has went through some tough things in her life. I give her fits. I know that. About her age, and she was born in 1900 and all this stuff I do. But Pat has lost loved ones. She's lost a child. Do you know what? God has given her ability to be able to witness to somebody who has lost a child recently. She knows the hurt. She knows the pain. She knows the dealing with it every day. She knows the getting up, and it probably crosses her mind every single day. And she knows that what that person needs to get through. She knows a little bit of the words to say. She's just one example. Many of y'all have things y'all have been through. Your testimony is so powerful. You may think you are weak, but brother, if you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have a message that a lost and a dying world needs to hear. Listen, if one of y'all have a cure for coronavirus right now, I believe you would tell the world, wouldn't you? You would tell the world. They may be a cure for it, I don't know. All these doctors claiming they know one. But if you knew for certain you had it, you would go give it to whoever had it. You would say, here, if you'll take this medicine, you will be healed. Or if you'll eat of this, you'll be healed. Or if you would do this, if we had a cure for cancer, we would tell everybody. And listen, why in the world we have a cure for this thing of sin sickness that can forever save a soul, but yet we keep it up inside of us and we won't tell anybody. And why in the world is that? The only reason I know is we've lost the desire for lost souls. We've been bought into this thing that they don't want to hear it. We bought into this that they don't want Christianity shoved down their throat. They don't want our Jesus pushed over on them. We've let that come to a place of where we don't have any power because we've quit telling our story. This little maid was one of the weak that was chosen to confound the ones which was mighty, such as Naaman. Listen to this message. We see the great man. We see the maid. Now look at the message. The first message was from the maid. There is a God in Israel. Verse number 3 said, it is a God in Israel. She said, there is a God. You go down to Samaria. The prophet's in Samaria, for he would recover from his leprosy. There is power. She was telling Naaman. She said, if he will go, there's a God there that can do something through this man. If he would only go. The second message comes from Elisha in verse number 10, the same chapter. And Elisha sent a messenger. Oh, I thought about this yesterday. You see, I am simply nothing to this world at all. And I am not much of anything else. But what a blessing it is that I am to be a messenger of the king. And so are you. You are a messenger. And Elisha sent a messenger. Listen, Elisha didn't come himself unto Naaman and say, go and wash. Elisha sent a messenger. I believe this is telling me and you today that God sends you a message through common man today, such as a pastor, such as a preacher, such as a Sunday school teacher, such as a deacon maybe, or a Bible school teacher or something, and tells you that you have leprosy, and they tells you the cure for it. It's up to you to heed it. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash. Go wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Thou shalt be clean. But you know what Naaman did? He said, God, I know better than you do. I remember being lost, sitting on those pews, and God dealing with me, and me saying, no, I've got some things I want to do. Young people are bad about saying this. When the Spirit begins drawing them to himself, they'll say, but God, give me some time. I want to do things. You see, and you hear those people that saying, me and God's got a deal. Yeah, y'all got a deal. You do things his way or you're going to wind up in hell. That's the only deal you got. But he said, this man of God that y'all talk about, he didn't even come out to see me. He didn't even come out himself and look me in the eyes. What kind of preacher is this? What kind of prophet is this down here that he wouldn't even come out? I'm a mighty man of war. I could chop his head off. I could whip him in one time. And this man wouldn't even come out and look me in the face. He sends a messenger and tells me what to do. And I'm second in command of my nation. And nobody's going to tell me what to do because I know that if I could go wash in a river, I've got rivers at home that's way cleaner than the Jordan. They're way better than Jordan. I can go wash in my own rivers and be healed. Is that not exactly what the world's trying today? I'm just as good as the next one is. I don't need Jesus. I can do good things on my own. I don't need him telling me to do this and to do that. Listen, today they're accepting many ways to heaven. You go listen to this one talk and you can do this and you can get to heaven. You can do that and you can get into heaven. There's groups that believe you can pay enough money to get into heaven to get you out of purgatory. They believe all these kind of things. Brother, I want to tell you something. There's one way to get to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way. Go wash seven times. Naaman says, I ain't doing it. That river's nasty. And here I am, come all this way. He told me to do what I could do at home. I ain't going to do it. Oh, thank God for servants again. Listen to what this servant told him in verse 13. He said, his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would I not have done it? You see, I have said this for years. The problem a lost and dying world sees with our belief, with Christianity as a whole, is that we teach and we preach through the doctrine of the Bible that you are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not a work you can do that can get you into heaven. And I believe all my certainty today that if I went, and I had a message for people, that you could ride a bicycle from here to Georgia, and when you got to Carrollton, you'd be guaranteed a home in heaven. The interstate would be full of bicycles. You would not be able to get on it. You think that's comical, but it would be. They think that everybody wants to go to heaven, but they want to go their way. They want to do something they think to earn it. And there's no way you can earn it. It must be the way that Jesus said is simply through faith. He said, Naaman, if it was some great thing, wouldn't you do it? He says, how much then? How much better is it? He said, Naaman, you ain't got to do anything. You ain't got to go feed 10,000 people. You ain't got to go kill 10,000 armies. You ain't got to go cut people's heads off. You ain't got to do the things you usually do in battle. He said, all this man is asking you to do is to go get in a river and go under seven times, and the seventh time you're going to be clean. How hard is that, Naaman? He said, how much rather then? He said, till you wash and be clean. Very simple. The message. The third message was very, very simple. Look at verse number 15. I didn't have that down as verse 13. In verse 13, he tells him, wash and be clean. It's that simple. Wash and be clean. Now, there's people who have been on our pews, and I say this every Sunday, and I'll keep saying it. There's people who've been in church pews for 50 years. They can tell you the day that they joined New Harmony Baptist Church. They can tell you the day they joined Concord, or they joined East Heflin, or they joined Heflin, or they joined, you put a blank there you want to, and it's there. They can tell you what they did. They have Sunday school pens forever. when they give those out, they hadn't missed a day of Sunday school in 50 years, and they'll say, do you believe that God would send me to hell when I never missed a Sunday of Sunday school? Yes, I did, if you hadn't have obeyed his voice, which is wash and be clean. Boy, it's simple, ain't it? So simple. Wash and be clean. Look at the miracle. Look at this miracle in verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I want to tell you that my God does nothing halfway. You see, Naaman didn't have leprosy all over him. Naaman had leprosy in one part, probably. Probably was on his arm. Probably was on his leg, I don't know, but he wasn't completely covered because he would have been set aside. So it could have read that God repaired the part that was leprosy, that he made it like the rest of Naaman's body. But he didn't. You see, Naaman was an older man probably. And those of y'all who might want to fool yourself with all these fancy creams and makeups, and by the way, I used to have pastors say, a little paint don't hurt an old barn. But we hide these things, and women can do that. Men, we have to grow facial hair like Blake. But as you age, time's rough on us. Pat don't look like she did when she was 20. She'll tell you. I look just a little bit different myself. I think better, but there's wrinkles right here that wasn't there at 20. There's wrinkles here that wasn't here at 20. There's wrinkles ever wasn't there at 20. But when God healed Naaman, it said his flesh come as a little child. Everybody ever felt a new baby? How smooth they are? And how pretty their skin is after all that redness and ugly leaves? Boy, their skin is just perfect, ain't it? Perfect skin, it's brand new. That's exactly how Naaman's skin was. God restored him as his skin was a new child. Listen at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Bible teaches unless you become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I thought about that yesterday in my office. What is that talking about? There are small children, and we laugh at them now, but we was that way. They believe with all their heart that whatever their main superhero is real without a shadow of a doubt, and Superman can do all things except if he runs into kryptonite. There's people who believe in Spider-Man. There's little children believe in Spider-Man to the point that they'll even buy a Spider-Man uniform and want to climb on a building. The childlike faith. They put childlike faith in you that you can provide everything for them. They don't realize they're doing it, but when a child is small, he'll come to mama for anything. Mama can fix anything. Mama's not there, he'll come to daddy, but most of the time they're going to choose mama. They will come knowing that mama can heal any problem. That's what it's talking about. The childlike faith without knowing. You see, the child don't understand nothing about what they're believing, but they believe it without having to understand it. I don't understand God. I don't understand the ways of God. I don't understand how my faith in a living sacrifice of Jesus Christ could save a dirty sinner like me. But listen, I believe it. It's that simple. The childlike faith. We're saved by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He makes our soul as that of the innocent child that has never sinned. Better than that, because the innocent child has sinful nature in them. The most dreaded disease, just like that, was washed away. How simple salvation is. We don't understand it, but it's God's way of healing our sin sickness. We can't make sense of it. Notice I said his name had become skin as a little child. John chapter 3, verse 3, listen to this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be washed and become as this little clean, perfect child by the Word. How are you washed today? By the Word of God. You see, men are standing all over our land right now giving out the same word I am. Nothing more special, nothing less special. It's the Word of God. Some people can deliver it in a better manner than others. It's still the Word of God. We get caught up a lot of times in the style that a man delivers a message. It's not that that saves a person, it's the message. It's the Word of God that saves. You may enjoy hearing a different style preacher or somebody deliver it this way, but it's still the same message. You must go wash. You must go wash. You understand something? Never again in the Word of God is it mentioned leprosy with the name of Naaman, except where it talks about him being healed in the New Testament. It even says that in all the land, Naaman was one of the only ones that was ever healed of leprosy. You see, once you wash and are made whole, you're not a leper anymore. You don't have that but beside your name anymore. It is gone. It could say a mighty man and never have to put a but in there. The leprosy is done away with. The sin sickness is gone. This morning, as we come with a verse of invitation, if everybody would please stand, I want you to think about this. What I'm asking you today is not me, but the Word of God is asking you to examine your life. Only you know if you have washed. If you have been washed today in the blood of the Lamb, only you know it. You know that if you have simply obeyed the voice of God and received His Son as your Savior, only you know that. He's not asking you to do anything unreasonable. He's asking you to do exactly what Elisha asked Naaman to do, is to go wash. Do it God's way is what that meant. You see, there wasn't nothing special about the Jordan River. The only thing was that God had said that's where he was to wash, through Elisha. There's nothing special about this altar. There's nothing special about where you'll bow today. It's simply obeying the one who is telling you that you must wash by faith. You see, I believe when Nathan headed to that water, it began happening. As he dipped a seventh time and come up, he was completely clean. I don't believe Naaman could have went to another river anywhere in the world and that would have happened, because it was God's voice that told him what to do and how to do it. You see, there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's the name Jesus Christ. There's not another one you can bow to. There's not another one you can kneel to. There's not anything you will ever do that will save your sin outside of simply trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, miraculous, lived a perfect life. People say, well, he probably didn't have to endure what I endured. The Bible says he is tempted in all ways such as man, yet sinned not. You say, but yeah, he was God. The Bible teaches he was 100% man too. He was 100% man, 100% God. I can't make sense of it, but that's what he was, and I believe the Word. So he lived a perfect life. He was nailed to a cross for something he didn't do. Took the penalty of sin that he never sinned. He took your penalty and my penalty and laid it on a cross and was nailed to it through his hands, through his feet. Anybody ever hit their hand with a hammer? Hurts, don't it? Nailed it through his hands. Nailed it through his feet. All for you. That cross was put into a ground, was stood up. People died of crucifixion by suffocation. Their lungs would fill up with fluid, and to get a breath, you'd have to push up. You couldn't push up anymore when your feet was nailed, so they died with the fluid building up their lungs of suffocation. He gave up freely. Nobody took his life. He laid it down. He died completely. He didn't pass out. He didn't go out unconscious for 3 days. He died. He was put into a grave. 3 days later, he resurrected, alive forevermore. That's what you do to be washed. You put faith in that sacrifice. That's what saves you. Not the work of coming up here. Not the work of bowing there. Not the work of dipping in this water. You're saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. One way. That's it. You need to come this morning. Don't let pride hold you back. God is simply asking you to wash and be clean. You see, Naaman could have went on home. He could have went home a leper. He could have went back to them rivers he talked about. And his leprosy would have still been there, and he would have eventually died from the leprosy. But he listened to a servant. He listened to a little maid. Got him there. Listened to a servant who told him, you need to listen to the man of God. It's very simple. Will you listen today? It's so simple. Put your faith in him and wash and be clean. You need to come for anything. You come. While Pat's playing, this is your time.